Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. This Saturday, everyone, auditions for It's a Wonderful Life. And you're like, what? We were talking about like Christmas and December. Well, we want to get auditions in because the Great News Radio Theater Troupe is going to kind of take the summer off. In fact, the Singing Men are on a little hiatus till the end of July. And so we're going to do some auditions. We're going to record your voice and those that participate. And that'll give Kate time to kind of discern who might take on this role or who has a strong voice for this situation and so forth. So that's happening this Saturday, June 17th, right here at the Great News Radio Center. We show 1 to 3 p.m. on the poster, but I think ideally get everyone here around 1. We'll have some snacks and treats, and then we'll start handing out some of the scripts and recording your voice and see how you do. And I think we have over 20 already signed up. So I think we have 35 or so parts and various roles that people can play, from sound effects to helping with all the arrangements. And you can find out more about it at greatnewsradio.org, greatnewsradio.org. And last night we had a successful launch of the Disciple Makers class. There are going to be 6 classes, 5 more classes on Tuesday nights. So if you want to find out more about that, it's right on our homepage, greatnewsradio.org. greatnewsradio.org, Tuesday nights, 6:15 to 7:30 p.m. So we'll get you out in time to get home while it's still light out. And so find out more about that and the excitement on getting to know Jesus better and how to share your faith and how to faithfully follow him. That's on Tuesday nights here at the Great News Radio Center. So, Jason, I think this Friday we're going to launch officially into the book of Exodus. So excited about that.
I don't know if you can launch into it, because the Exodus is a going out.
Oh, yeah. There's the play on words here.
Yeah, the Exodus is a going out. And so I don't think you can go into the going out. I think that you'd have to go over the going out.
Oh, yeah, you'll get me on my prepositional phrases, the in, on, into, under. Oh, never mind. We've done that before. So on Friday, we'll ask you to have your Bibles out, and for the next year or so, we'll start word for word, verse by verse. We'll plow through the book of Exodus.
So just a year, you think?
No, for at least for a year, yep.
So how long was Acts?
Marianne asked. I was telling her we're going to launch into Exodus on Friday, and she said, did you ever finish Acts? I
was like, so how long was Acts? How many programs?
I think it was over 2 years.
Okay, and so the Exodus has 12 more chapters than Acts.
Oh, yeah, so a couple of years, everyone. Some of you will be retiring by the time we finish.
I found with some people that's not helpful. Like, you just don't tell them how long it's going to be.
Yeah,
just, you know, it's sort of like a car ride with my kids. You just kind of like, when are we going to get there? Just over the next ride.
Yeah, we're going to get there when we're supposed to get there.
Yeah. If you tell them it's going to be a long trip, then like 2 minutes in, they're like, why won't they talk about the Gospels?
Yes. I know maybe on Friday we'll lay some of the groundwork, maybe a sneak preview. Why study the book of Exodus? Or is that a whole subject in and of itself?
Well, I could just start and say it's in the Bible, and we're commanded to read Scripture. We're commanded to know Scripture. So why the book of Exodus? Because the book of Exodus, really, the book of Exodus spends a fair amount of its time foreshadowing things that come in Christ. Moses is a shadow of things that are going to be done in Christ. So God gives the people, his people, the children of Israel, a human deliverer. And that foreshadows or prefigures the divine deliverer that's going to come. And you see all kinds of things. I mean, Moses goes into the water in the basket and then into the wilderness. Jesus comes out of the water and goes into the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of things that kind of give you hints of what's happening with Christ. And so I think it's important. Plus, it's a story that we're connected to. And so every story in the Bible is connected to us as the people of God. And so the story of God is a story that we need to know. And there's so many things in the book of Exodus, I think, that we really need to grab a hold of and to understand, because we're no different than the children of Israel were then.
Yeah, we are enslaved by different things, as they were. And then I know you, through the notes and everything I receive on Sunday at the church where you've been preaching on Exodus for a number of weeks, you have like the tabernacle and how it breaks down, and again, how that's foreshadowed or revealed in Christ. And
yeah.
A lot of good material. So
Yeah, and so when we get into it, we'll talk about it because people can access. We're going to be way behind on the radio program and probably in much smaller chunks, but people can access through the church website all the materials that are online there, which is all the study sheets, videos, any kind of extra material and handouts. We scan all that, put it in the site. We've created a study site so that you can go there and access all these materials and you can have them all so that you can continue to do that study. Because the idea is not that you come on Sunday morning and that ends the week. It's that you pull your study sheet out and then you work through it for the whole week. There's questions, there's meditations, we have music. And so we say these are you know, three or four hymns that have to do with dependence on God or deliverance by God. And so, you know, as you're studying in that, you can also access music because some people just want to pray and need that. Some people want to learn and they need that. And some people want to listen and they need that. Mm-hmm. And so we want to figure out what is the best way that you learn and then be able to interact with people that way.
Hmm. What's the best way to learn through the book of Romans?
To read it.
Yeah.
And then to
read
weep.
It again.
And then weep.
Yes.
Weep because it is brutal. It is brutal.
Yes.
It's kind of funny because I got a group of guys. So Romans is going to be the study for Bible Study Fellowship in the fall. And so what happens is when we got done with the book of John in Bible Study Fellowship, one of the things that seems to happen in Bible Study Fellowship all the time is, at least in the men's group, is guys come back after the summer and they spend the first number of weeks bemoaning the fact that they haven't opened their Bible all summer. They were mowing their yard. They've been working on the car. They've been doing this. They've been doing that. And because Bible Study Fellowship isn't happening every week and they're not kind of beholden to their group to come and have people ask questions. So, you know, they have to study that they don't open their Bible. And so knowing that Romans is such a thick book and there's so much happening in Romans and knowing that in Bible Study Fellowship it's going to be very hard for them to go through Romans and actually get it all, I said to a group of guys, why don't we get together every week and we'll do it at 6:30 in the morning at Einstein's and we'll study the book of Romans together. And we'll just kind of fly over it and really just discuss it, try and understand it, but just get ourselves, I told them, get ourselves wet in it.
And this must have been a God thing because if you had a choice, 6:30 is not the time because you tend to be a late owl. I mean, you love reading late.
It wasn't a God thing. It was a thing where you don't think about it.
Yeah,
that's,
yeah,
what it was. That's really what it was. It was a thing that I didn't think about until I got to like the day before. So when you start at 6:30, it doesn't mean you have to be up at 6:30. It means you have to be up at 5:30 or 5. And so I didn't think about that till it was the night before, and I'm thinking, I got to be up at 5.
Yeah.
And then I was reminded of this movie that I saw, and I can't remember exactly what the movie is, but the line came into my mind, and it said, it's 0600. What does the O stand for? Oh, my gosh, it's early.
Yes.
And so that's what every week I go, oh, my gosh, it's early.
Sounds like something from Hello, Vietnam.
I think that's what it was. Yeah. I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
I think it was a movie with Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
Yeah, but I mean, it's been rich and it's early, but early but good. It's a good way to start the day. But my problem is that you're right. I like to stay up. That's a quiet time. I can read. I can do that. And so it takes me a day or so to get back into the swing after that. I need a nap. I need to kind of chill out. And so this week we have VBS. So I ran from the Bible study to VBS to the next thing to the next thing.
Yeah.
So
it's
crazy. But we've been getting together and studying the book of Romans and a bunch of guys and just really wrestling what the book of. And we spent 2 weeks in the latter half of Romans 1 and really just trying to understand. Now, Romans 1 is interesting. And I think I've probably said this on the radio program and I've said this in a number of places. But when I was growing up, I read Romans 1 and I kind of thought, there's no way. Like, Romans 1 reminded me of some sort of dystopian movie that I saw in the future, like, you know, the world is ending, you know, and they knew God, yet they didn't worship God, you know, and I mean, that's what I thought. When I read it, I thought, like, no, this could never happen, like, it could never get this bad. And now I look, and it is this bad. But here's the good news, because some of you go, oh, my gosh, you're right, it is that bad, everything is so horrible. This is the good news. Number one, it is bad. That means the Bible's right. I always love when I see things bad that happens that the Bible tells me is going to happen because I know the Bible's right. It's true.
Validates that it's
right.
True.
And number two, we have clarity. Like, I don't have to wonder if people are sinning or not sinning. We've arrived at a point where people just tell you that they're sinning. They love their sin. They don't care. And so now you're like, okay, well, now I know where to work. I don't even have to work hard to figure out where I need to work. And so Romans 1 is just great. But one of the things that Romans 1, kind of the big idea of Romans 1 is that the root of sin, the root of all sin, is rejection of God. So anytime you reject God, you are going to move from sin. This is so black and white. When you reject God, when you reject God's ways, His teaching, His all that stuff, you are going to head towards sin because you have to have a God in your life. It's either going to be God, the God of the universe, or it's going to be yourself. And see, that's the problem that Romans 1 comes up against. In fact, it says in one of the verses, it says they exchanged truth regarding God for their own desires. And then it says at the end of that verse, but He's the God forevermore. And so the idea is that what I want in a very temporal, right now level, I exchange. I see that as more important than what God offers eternally. And that's kind of crazy when you think about it. Mm-hmm. But that's the way the human heart works. I kind of joked with the guys when I said, you know, it's kind of like when my wife, if my wife bakes a big cake, like a big chocolate cake. Nobody sets a big chocolate cake down on the table.
I know where this is going.
And your first maybe you've done it, Mark. You're far more sanctified and holy than I am. But has anybody ever set down a big chocolate cake and you thought, you know, I should just have one moderately small slice? No. We look at it and we go, I could eat that whole thing. It looks so good. I could eat it all. Because that's our human inclination. Our human inclination is when our desire kicks in, I could do that. And it's always, I could do that. It's never like, oh, Holy Spirit, what size piece would be, you know, proportionate to the... No, I could do that, all of that. Because all of a sudden, when my desires take over, when our desires take over, our desire then is to become God. And so what do? We exchange, we give up truth about God, who God is, our submission to who God is, and we exchange it so that we can have what we want. You know, it's really interesting, and one of the things that we really wrestled with that I thought was really rich, and so maybe for us, you know, to talk about it, or also for the listener to hear, is the fact that when we read this list in here, I mean, and the list is brutal.
Now, where are you talking?
Romans chapter 1, roughly around verse 28.
Okay.
You know, and it said they didn't see fit to acknowledge God, and God gave them up to their debased mind to do what they ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, and malice. Notice they were filled with it. The next one says they are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Like, that's the list. And so immediately, what do? Immediately, when I see a list like this, if I'm honest with you, I start going down the list and going, okay, well, I haven't murdered anybody. And I love God. I don't hate God. And, gosh, sometimes I'm a little boastful, though. Oh, my gosh. Disobedient to parents?
Hmm.
Foolish? I've done some foolish things. Faithless? There's been times when I've been that heartless. I mean, you start going through the list and you start thinking, oh my gosh. Or you get in this list and you go, I know a lot of people who are like this. I mean, you really get a choice. This list is meant, when Paul delivers this list wasn't for the people of Rome to be able to take and go out and go, oh, here's Tom and here's Betty and here's Johnny and here's, you know, Al. No. This list was to go into introspect, to look inside of you and say, where am I doing this? Where am I like this? Lord, deliver me from these places. But I think the tendency is to be like the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, who goes up to the temple and he goes, thank God I'm not like that tax collector. Right. But the problem is that when you read that passage, what happens? The tax collector beats his breast, declares himself a sinner, and the Bible says he went away justified in the sight of God.
Right.
Not the guy who was religious who said, I don't do any of those things. Instead, it was the guy who admitted he's capable of doing every single one of those things. Now, we would look at this list and we would say, you know what, this list, I mean, that's not me. I mean, it was interesting. I asked the guys, I said, hey, you know what, how about envy? I mean, where do we fall on envy? I think we've all probably done that, right? Have you ever been envious of something that somebody else has, Mark? You ever look at it and go, man, when can I get something like that? Or,
yeah, I think the last time, third grade. Not since third grade. No, yeah, not certainly. Since,
but I mean, in and amongst this list, I mean, we would look at this list and murder follows envy. You know why murder follows envy? If you go to Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18, it says this. Pilate said to them, who do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ? Verse 18 says this. For he knew that it was out of envy that they delivered Jesus to him. In the Bible, envy comes before the murdering of Jesus on the cross. Envy precedes murder. And so envy is not just something like, oh, I wish I had his stuff. Look at all his cool stuff. Envy becomes the pathway for something even greater to happen.
And least we skip over that murder so quick. We can murder someone's reputation. We can murder in a lot of different ways. It's not just physically taking someone's life. Yeah. It's the murdering of the reputation or a lot of other different things that we could say about them.
The tendency is to read Romans chapter 1 and go, this must be true. Look at how bad the world is. And I really think that Romans chapter 1 is about, look how bad I could be if I don't have God in my life. If I trade the knowledge and the truth of who God is for what I desire to have, this is the pathway you will go. And so that causes us to have some really hard conversations with ourselves. That causes us to have some really powerful and deep introspection to see what's going on. Philippians chapter 4 and 8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, and if anything is excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mm-hmm. So if I asked you, the listener, and I asked you, Mark, to take Philippians 4:8 and use it as a grid for your day, did what you think about, was it lovely and true and worthy of praise? Did what you watch on TV bring you to a place where it was lovely and worthy of praise? Did you think about those things? Or did you actually think about other things? Things that would sound a whole lot more like what is in Romans chapter 1. And the challenge by Paul is, look at, you can easily move this direction. And you have to be careful. Because there is a battle inside every single one of us to become our gods for ourselves. To become our own kind of gods.
Getting back to your original statement where you said, like as a child or reading this the first time many years ago, you thought this just would never happen. But getting to verse 32, this next verse, this is what really stokes your fire, if you will. Verse 33, although they know God's righteous decrees that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice it.
Sure. Well, and so listen, this is an interesting thing. Because I sat with somebody about 2 weeks ago, and they were struggling with something, and I said, well, you know what, I'd love to talk to you about that. Actually, I just counseled somebody recently about a situation that's kind of like yours. And so we talked through some of the things that this person was struggling with. This person said, gosh, I can't imagine the conversation you as a pastor have to have with people. And they said, what's the toughest conversation you've ever had to have? And they weren't saying that to dig it and get like some dirt. They were just wondering, what's the worst you've had? I mean, they're thinking, you know, baby dies, person that cheats on their wife or their husband, somebody abuses their child, suicide. I mean, I've had conversations that cover the game, all those things and more. And so it was really fascinating because when they said, what's the most difficult conversation you've had to have? I had to sit back and I said, you know what it is? The most difficult conversation I have to have is the day-to-day one where I have to ask somebody, can you please stop using that kind of language around me? Can you please turn that off because I don't want to watch that? Hmm. Can you not do that thing that you're doing because I don't think that's good for my heart? You know, I went to a Super Bowl party, I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, and, you know, guys don't generally like to watch the halftime show unless it's like Aerosmith or something like that. I mean, if it's like Janet Jackson, guys are like, oh, gosh, where's the hot wings? And so I was at the Super Bowl party, and this was like good Christian guys. And the halftime show came on, and they're like, oh, I don't want to watch this. Hey, check this out. And it was like Girls Gone Wild or something. Hmm. And I said, guys, like, we need to turn this off. This is not what you or I or any of us should be watching. They're like, oh, man, you're no fun. I'm like, yeah, I am no fun where sin is concerned. Yeah. No fun at all. Now, here's the thing. Afterwards, I didn't stay too much longer, and I never got invited back. And so the most difficult conversations we're going to have is when we need to have conversations about the way people are conducting themselves around us day to day. Because if I don't say anything, if somebody is just telling improper jokes or somebody is using lewd language or like that, if I don't correct that in a way to say, hey, you know what, I think that we ought not do that, then I'm approving of it. Because if I'm coming with the standard of Christ, if I'm coming with a kind of righteousness that Christ preaches, then the expectation is, oh, well, it must be okay because he's not saying anything.
Yeah.
He actually thinks it's funny. And I think that we do the body of Christ, I think we do the beauty and image of Christ a real disservice when we as Christians allow people to do things that we know they shouldn't do, and they also know that they shouldn't do. I was just sitting with a guy the other day, and all of a sudden, I don't know what happened, but he just started cussing. And I looked at him, and it was kind of funny, because I said, you know what he looks like right now? I mean, this is like a 50-year-old man who suddenly looks like my 10-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Kind of like that kind of sinful little like, oh, I just said a bad word. And I had to stop and say, you know what? I really don't appreciate you talking like that right now. I think there's a hundred other ways you could say what you needed to say without using those four-letter words.
Yeah.
And so I think that the hardest conversations we're going to have are the daily conversations where we're trying to keep things pointed towards north, where we're trying to be right. So we're trying to be the fragrance of Christ.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking, lest you disinvite Jason to your next function or feel like he's a killjoy.
They just won't invite
me. No. Let me say, Jason has one of the best senses of humor, and we laugh constantly and have a lot of fun, God-honoring fun for the most part. Can't say we're always so totally wholesome that our halos are constantly shining. But he's a lot of fun to have around, and he is a great source of encouragement and blessing. And I think what you're saying is very true. Probably many of us, hearts are being pricked or our consciences are being reminded, oh gosh, do I allow a lot of things at the lunchroom to go on? Yeah. Or do I involve myself and almost approve by not saying anything, you're almost endorsing maybe what's being said and shared. And it is a tough stand, and it is uncomfortable, but it's what God would want.
Well, look, guys love to beat their chest. They really do. They love to beat their chest and be funny. They love to beat their chest and be manly. But in the Bible, God says, yeah, beat your chest. But beat your chest and declare that you're a sinner and that you desperately need me. I'll close by reading this quote by John Piper that I love, this about Romans 1. He says, the point of Romans 1, I think, is to give enough examples to show that virtually every form of evil has to do with coming from failing to know and to love God above all things. Every evil begins when we stop looking toward, stop loving, and stop pursuing God. We need to desire Him more than anything, and then we'll see kind of all the other stuff for what it is.
And all of God's people said,
Jason's not coming to the party.
Amen.
Right now, there's people scratching me off the list. They're like, he's not coming.
Yeah, New Year's off, birthday parties off.
He's no
football tailgating, no
boom,
way.
Gone. No, nothing.
Boom.
He's no fun.
Boom. Hey, read Romans today, everyone, or at least get into chapter 1. You can do that before you head out to work or, you know, begin mowing that lawn or whatever the activity is for the day. So you can't go wrong reading God's Word. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.